Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Well, hello to all of our listeners who have called in this morning. We've got a great show today. And I want to really welcome all of you who have called in to Women Leading Radio. I'm Cecile Be Real, and I'm the host for Serving Up Diversity and Inclusion. Got a great show for you that you may want to take a lot of notes on. I want to welcome in I'm Cecile, and I'm hosting Serving Up Diversity and Inclusion, and all of a sudden my laptop went blank, so I'm back. And in today's times, the use of medical marijuana is legal, and that's what our topic is going to be about and what happens during these times. And our guest is Samuel Yehudor. He's president of an organization called Amortech Security. And Sam, I want to welcome you.
Thank you very much for having me, Cecile. It's a pleasure to be here.
Of course. Well, I'm glad. Well, let's get started in this. What is cannabis? And is it known as medical marijuana? Or tell us something about that, if you will, because there's a point to all of this.
Well, good question. So medical marijuana goes by several names, and it's very common nationwide. It's something that has been influenced for quite some time in the social communities. However, it goes by certain types like Mary Jane, Boom. There's so many different. There's over 200 names that it goes by. And what medical marijuana is, or marijuana in general, it's pretty much the component of the actual medical marijuana plant. It's an Indian-based plant, and the leaves, stems, seeds, and flowers can be utilized to produce the actual active ingredient, which is known as THC, for the patient to consume. But there's several other components that medical marijuana contains that has various effects on the human body. But ultimately, THC is pretty much the primary component that's found in the medical marijuana plant. And there's several other cannabinoids that is included in that, but primarily THC.
And how is it dispensed?
Well, the way that it's processed, it can take on various forms of different products, anything from cookies and candies, even water. Now, cannabis has found its way into the original product itself. Can either be smoked, similar to that of a cigarette, or there's water pipes that an individual can place the actual plant or flower specifically into the actual device, and then they can utilize it from that source.
I see. And I understand that it's something that both men and women can use, but differently.
Yeah, it is interesting. We see a lot of women preferring more of the edible assortments rather than the actual joints. And a joint is another word for a cigarette-like creation. It's pretty much the rolling of the actual cannabis leaf and flowers into a paper roller, and then at that point it would be utilized in that nature. But men would then deal with that particular joint, or they would deal with the water pipe in general. And we, and because we had conduct a lot of security work at medical marijuana facilities, we actually see the choices as well as talk to women and men about their preferential choices of utilizing the product. And that's pretty much the findings that, that we see nowadays.
Yeah, that's it's incredibly interesting because also I realize, and you can correct me if I'm off base at all, is that many times it's employees who work inside of the organization who are dealing with cancer. And my question is, are they, do they handle that while they're working, or is it something they do it off the premises?
Are you talking about utilizing the actual cannabis product?
Yeah.
Well, and we try to inform members of the general public that if they are allowed to utilize medicinal marijuana, that it is in their best interest to utilize medical marijuana off the clock, pretty much not on the job site. There are various effects that medical cannabis has on an individual once it's consumed. A lot of it can deal with their memory, judgment, motor functions, and especially if there's physicians of a sensitive nature. You wouldn't want to work at a nuclear power plant on medical cannabis. It's something that would definitely have some negative impacts. But while you're at home after your work, then, of course, if the conditions allow to a place where you can be without any type of work or having not to make any type of critical judgments, then at that point, medical cannabis can be consumed as required by your doctor or physician. I know it's also something that's very important to where you have to consider whether or not there are kids in the area. You want to do this completely away from children, some pets as well, who can be affected by the cannabis smoke as well.
Oh, that's interesting because I wasn't aware of that. And when we look at all of this, you know, besides cancer, one of the things you actually were educating me on, and I really appreciate it, is that there are other uses for cannabis, not just per se, I guess in quotes, the medical marijuana, but there are some other areas where it can be used. Will you share that with our listeners?
Oh, sure, of course. So medical cannabis is not just the anti-cancer product that is now being phased out or actually distributed to the general public, but also has been known to assist with issues such as glaucoma, muscle spasms, seizures, severe pain, even nausea. So and also increasing appetite. There are a lot of cancer patients who would undergo chemotherapy, and sometimes the effects would deal with a loss in appetite. And consuming medical cannabis, whether it's the edible form, i.e. baked in cookies or brownies, or if it's utilized through inhalation, it helps to increase the appetite for an individual to be able to eat more and regain the strength that's needed during chemotherapy sessions. So that's one other thing, but also severe pain. There, many people choose to refrain from the standardized drugs that are being dispensed through the pharmaceutical industry, and then they decide to go with medical cannabis, and they found to have better effects or similar effects to that of the pharmaceutical drugs with very little to no side effects outside of the immediate sensation, the drowsiness or the urge to eat more, if you will. But for the most part, that is mainly the additional effects that you'll have immediately once consuming medical marijuana.
Wow. And then there's some needle use for it too.
Oh yes, there's actually studies that's undergoing right now that is looking into how medical cannabis is affecting a child's development during the pregnancy stage for women. They're finding that many of the cannabinoids that's inside medical cannabis has some developmental effects. On a positive note, it's still a gray issue. It's still back and forth. Some sources may say it's a negative ordeal. Some say that new research is showing that there's much beneficial effects. If you look at it, how it affects adult humans in fighting cancer and assisting with seizures, muscle spasms, they're looking at it in a manner where it would help to increase fetal brain development as well. But that is something that's still going on as far as research is concerned.
Wow, how interesting that is. And a lot of times we don't know what goes on when it comes to cancer. And my daughter had cancer a few years ago, and I know the things that she went through, and that was way before medical marijuana. And it's difficult to say whether how that might have helped her at the time because we didn't know about it then. But what's the role that happens with security? What role does security play?
Well, as a security firm, a security and risk mitigation firm, we deal with various collectives as well as local and state entities. We also work with various other corporate entities as well in providing protective security overall. Each individual entity has its own security requirements, but for collectives, it's fairly general. But our primary role is ensuring that the patients are actually patients. In the state of California, medicinal marijuana is only allowed for medicinal use. Recreational use has not been authorized by the state at this time. I know in November that there would be an election that would be going on that would determine on whether or not medicinal marijuana would turn into recreational marijuana. But until that time, our primary goal is to make sure that each patient who provides a recommendation letter from their doctor or other physician that you can find in San Diego or California as a whole, that is valid. Pretty much the expiration date has not passed its time. I would make sure that the names are matched with the actual patients. They also have to be a California state resident, and that's a very important factor. We are also there to ensure that the regulations at the collectives are being met. So each collective have different types of rules and regulations that have to be followed when a patient's on site, and we're there to just enforce it. But primarily it's just concerned with safety and ensuring that patients are not utilizing cannabis outside of the property and the parking lots, things of that nature.
Wow. Well, you know, there's so much interesting things about this. And so how does the gender affect your security measures in the collective?
That's a very good question. Gender is something that, as our security team looks at, it's not precisely anything that is different between men and women when they enter the collective. We focus more on the safety that's required, as well as the regulations that the collectives have put out there for the patients. When it comes to ensuring that individuals does not come in with dangerous weapons or anything like that, it's something that we want to go ahead and make sure that that's met by all locations. And that's something that we have to pretty much just enforce, whether you're male or female. And, that's pretty much what it is, as far as I'm concerned.
Yes, and is marijuana itself, or the cannabis, is that being also usable in other states, or is California the only state right now?
Well, there's various states right now who have utilized or who have pretty much exercised the ability for a patient to use it for recreational use, such as Washington. Washington has definitely went ahead and passed, I believe, that authorization in 2012. Same thing in Colorado as well. And but those allowances have been for individuals 21 years of age and older. Oregon and Alaska has also approved, I believe, in November 2014. So it is something to understand, however, that medical marijuana is still considered a Schedule I narcotic with the federal government. So that's in the same bracket with cocaine and other dangerous narcotics. But they're looking to, at least the states that are looking for legalization are trying to urge the federal government to move that Schedule I down to a Schedule II, which would make it a lot less of a dangerous substance recognized by the federal government, at least.
And we're kind of coming to the middle of our conversation. So what I'd like to ask you, if you will do, people who listen to this, to all of our programs, often like to call in and get some more information, and they'd like to contact someone like you under Amertech Security. Is there a way they can reach you?
Oh, of course. I can be reached via email. My email address is S as in Sam, YABOR, and that's going to be at armortechinc.com, and that's spelled ARMOR, T as in Tango, ECHINC.com.
And so I want to make sure with the last, one of the, your first name and your last name, I want to make sure on that, because I thought I heard you say S-Y-A-D-O-R, but the D didn't come through.
Oh,
so
yes, that's correct.
Let's do it one more time. Yeah, why don't you say it one more time, if you will.
Sure, it's S as in Sam, Y-A-D as in Delta, O-R, and that's going to be at ArmorTechInc.com, spelled A-R, M as in Mary, O-R as in Rosemary, T as in Tango, ECHINC.com.
Okay, and would you like to have them go to your website and or have your phone number? Would you just prefer having them just do an email address?
Well, our website definitely talks about the company. It talks about our capabilities as a security and risk mitigation firm. We provide several other services as well, including site evaluations. So we can go on site and we can check an individual's business out to ensure that their safety parameters are in place, camera systems are online and operational. We also have an IT division as well. However, we haven't added it onto the website because some of our clients prefers us to just go to the site directly and interact with them. But we can be found on armortechsecurity.com, or we can be contacted, no problem, at area code 619-795-9403.
Thank you so much. And I know there is a lot of confidentiality around these things too. And how are women identifying, or how does gender affect the collectives you talked about? So how are the women part of it identified within the cannabis industry? Are you there? Gigi, I may have lost someone. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me now?
Ah, yes, I can hear you.
Okay. All of a sudden, yeah, all of a sudden it went dead. And
yeah.
So, and I hope those of you who are listening and calling in will call in again if possible. So for some reason, it totally went off. My question was, how are women identified within the cannabis industry?
Oh, well, good question. So although the roles of the women, for women in the industry are primarily focused on providing consultations, marketing, advertisements, things of that nature, I believe women have greater capabilities in deploying conflict resolution, and also increase approval ratings from patients. We see that women have been exercise greater amounts of patience, understanding, and ultimately the type of professionalism that will keep individuals coming back to these collectives. Now, every collective is different, of course, with different locations, different conditions, and, of course, the products as well. But we believe that as far as the security firm is concerned, that the ability for women to come in and provide the type of conflict resolution is definitely a key element in our ability to be effective in the industry. And we wish that more women would actually apply and take on the role of security officers. Our company, however, provides primarily armed security for the industry, and that's only due to the nature of the industry. Of course, cannabis being a cash crop, and due to some of the issues with banking that are pretty much plaguing the nation right now. And what I mean by that is there's really no banks that would actually assist with the banking efforts within the industry. And that's due to the fact that the federal government has considered medical cannabis a Schedule I narcotic. So anything that is Schedule I is not FDIC insured, and FDIC is a program that helps insure banks in the event of any type of loss or whatnot. So because it's not FDIC insured, banks are refraining from sponsoring the cannabis industries, which leads many owners to have cash on the site without the ability to really save it or store it elsewhere. So, of course, us providing the security necessary to protect the establishment as well as the individuals in the case of a situation is vital. However, we do train for our security officers to not play the cowboy. We are not here to shoot and ask questions later. That is a very important element that many people should understand. It is more about being preventative in nature, not reactive. That's a very important aspect that we train at our company. And by being vigilant, by observing security cameras, by ensuring that patients are not allowed within the collectives with any dangerous weapons, or understanding that sometimes individuals will have to be screened prior to entry, we're able to ensure that collectives are able to stay safe and secured.
And that makes sense, because I can understand if people, people who aren't really involved in any kind of utilization of marijuana, medical marijuana, that they would want to, those that are not, would perhaps want to try and find ways to get it.
Correct, correct. And it has occurred so many times as far as robberies, break-ins, things of that nature. And so unfortunately, some individuals within the industry feel that women may not have the skill sets to be able to provide the security necessary. However, I greatly disagree. I believe that women are way beyond capable of providing the security efforts that's needed. And most people would look at this situation from a physical standpoint, where they'll feel as if women cannot be as strong or as capable of wrestling an individual out of the collective. Of course, that is a very wrong concept to look at, because the overall objective is conflict resolution, ensuring that communicating with the patient is priority and fixing the issues as they go along. That's something that we found some of the women that we've hired to be able to successfully master. Our men has been able to do the same thing. However, it's psychologically beneficial because, of course, a man being approached by a woman to do certain things, whether it's to leave a site or to assist with solving an issue, would be more inclined to listen to her rather than two men going at it, going back and forth, arguing and shouting, because, of course, it's a dominating role that a lot of men have.
Sure. And, you know, when you were talking about the collectibles, so when someone who's been using the medical marijuana and they need to do something further. And I think that's when I kind of got cut off from you, is where are these collectibles? Are they in a building, specific building, or do they have to go into the hospital, or where is that?
Okay, great question. Most of these locations are based in brick and mortar facilities. Pretty much there's various locations all throughout California, and there's various ways you can access them, but primarily through magazines such as the 420 book. That's a magazine mm-hmm. that's based in San Diego as well as in Los Angeles. There's Culture Magazine. There's several other magazines out there where patients can receive information. The San Diego Reader, I believe, also has further information on these sites. However, it is something where patients, before they can go in, they need to ensure that they have a medical recommendation letter. And this recommendation letter can be obtained from a doctor's office or a physician's office. And the recommendation letter is just that. It is just a letter that allows the physician to recommend the use of cannabis to the patient. And that does not necessarily give that individual the access to the product. That's going to be determined by the collective in general. However, that recommendation is key as well as vital to the capability of a patient to receive such medicinal products. And, of course, when it comes to the legal side of medical cannabis, it is important that the patient also has copies of that recommendation letter in the event that they're stopped by law enforcement officials and be able to, and not only be able but be ready to provide such documentation as necessary. So many times we remind patients to keep a copy in their vehicle, as well as keeping one at home, as well as on their person, if they decide to go and obtain medical cannabis for medicinal use.
And the last question I'm going to ask you, because we're almost out of time, is that an employee, say, utilizes this cannabis and medical marijuana, do they have to report that within the organization?
Very good question. Very good question. And primarily, it is a really dicey game now because of the fact that many employees are actually just that now. There are employees. Now, it's really dependent upon the entity or the agency or the employer, if you will, who's hiring the individuals as to whether or not they've asked this question during the application segment of the employees, approval into the company. So if you're working a particular job that requires attention to detail, that requires an individual to keep guarded secrets, of course, such questions would surely be asked. However, one point where an individual decides to utilize medical marijuana, if such questions weren't asked, they may not be they wouldn't have to be obligated to indicate to an employer whether or not they consume medical cannabis. But ultimately, it could be something that I would believe would need to be addressed by every employer's legal counsel to ensure that they have a segment in place, right, ready to to be able to address the situation.
Well, gosh, this has been wonderful, and you've educated me a lot on this, and I hope our listeners have also received your process and how it is and what marijuana really is in the medical community and with employees as well as others who are sick and not necessarily employees of any organization. And for all of you, if you want to contact Samuel, he gave you the phone numbers, and I'm going to give the phone number one more time before we are out of time. 619-795-9403. Sam, thank you so much for your time and the education that you've given us.
Thank you very much, Cecile. I'm honored. Thank you guys very much.
You're welcome. Uh-huh. Okay, geez, what the heck happened?